What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woohoo!
Extra! Brought to you by Good Game St. James. Listen to these spoilers. No, not what Bono said last time you updated iTunes, but what we're saying, listeners. That's right, it's spoiler season again. Your old destiny has been heated in a mana-fueled furnace. We're hammering it into a new card design. Your fate has been reforged. So that's, I should have been more like a movie thing. Your fate has been reforged.
Woohoo!
Your fate has been reforged.
Anyway, today, to provide the knowledge, I'm joined by Cider-Man. Cider-Man does whatever an apple can. It's Kinder Freeze Tunnel!
100% and, okay.
And can he swing from a web? He can if it's with Ash Webster.
That's a good one.
There you go.
And my Cider-Man's sidekick.
2015, we're only doing quality this year, fellas. How's the new year going?
Oh, you know, solid 3 days. Been very hot.
We're already 3 days in.
I know.
I thought this was the first.
It's only like 362 left.
And if we were one of those super professional podcasts, that's what we do. It's the 3rd of January. We're here to discuss Fate Reforged.
But then people are listening to us in the past. Is that okay?
No, then they would date, you know, all of your opinions as of by today. So then by the 4th, if you changed your mind, it wouldn't matter because you said, that's what I thought on the 3rd.
Yeah.
See what I'm going by?
We definitely have bets riding on this.
Oh, really?
I think I already have 2 bets with Aaron.
Yeah, who's not here because he's on holiday somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's in the frosty New England.
The old England.
Oh, New
the original
England.
England.
The original England's so boring.
He's not in America, though.
Yeah.
There is a factual place called New England.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so are you excited about... Ash, I'll ask you first. Are you excited to have your fate reforged?
Why? What's wrong with asking Kane first?
Oh, because, you know, it's been...
Kane.
Orgasmic, hasn't it, up until this point?
I have no love for this set whatsoever.
No? Yeah. Oh, no.
That's not what I heard for the last half hour.
Quick, give him a cider. His attitude will change. I'm always excited about spoiler season. There's some really good ones, actually.
I don't
compared to this time
this
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about Born of the Gods. Like, we weren't even excited for Corsair of Crucifix. The card I was most excited for
was
Xenagod. Yeah.
So you got blindsided by Corsair.
I think everyone did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was playing it.
Yeah.
I like my 2/4s for 3.
Yeah, that's the old...
green cards.
Green-red monsters.
Yep.
I like my good old 4/2s for 3. You can see 2 sides of the coin here today.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully we'll have plenty of arguments, and then at some point in time in the future, Aaron can come back and make some peace. And, well, it's always fun to argue with Kian.
Yeah, so I know, right?
All right. Well, the first thing we have to do is bust the booster before Tarns of Cartier goes out. I almost said it the right way. I thought I was going Tarns of Cartier. We'll blob and get back with some of that.
Buster Booster!
Yeah! Fill in vocals there. All right. Probably the last. Will we have another time with Buster Booster for the Tarns?
Nah.
Well, it'll be Fate Reforged will be here next time in a month's time.
We'll be sitting on an anvil, just hammering away at our fate.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Let's bust our final Tarns of Cartier booster and see how we go. Should be quick. All right. We got Trumpet Blast. Faces. Ash fell into a coma.
I like Trumpet Blast.
Oh, you look comatose there. You were like going...
Oops.
Or maybe that was your relaxation
but nobody
face.
Can see that, though. So
poker face.
I get all my faces.
Yeah.
We're the beautifulest podcast on the interweb.
All right. So Trumpet Blast is 2 and a red, 2 and a mountain for an instant. Attacking creatures get +2/+0 until end of turn. Combat tricks.
I like it more than Rush Battle. It's sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got to disagree with that one. Rush Battle's way better.
Let's save the argument for spoilers.
No, you can argue any time, fellas. Oh. So what? You're just happy with any kind of combat trick, but this is the first pack you're opening, sitting at the draft table. You're not going to commit to a combat trick before you know what creatures or sort of deck you're going to play, are you?
You can't.
It's definitely
first
not a first
pick
pickable
this?
Card, no.
No.
I think, there's always something better.
Unless we go downhill big time from here. Well, will Salt Road Patrol sweeten the deal? Which 3 in the plains
for a creature, a human scout is a 2/5. Who's got outlast?
Well,
have you ever played that card?
He might be outlasting Trumpet Blast in this pack.
That's a great one, Ken.
Yeah, see what you did there.
Soul Ride Patrol's good. It's better than Trumpet Blast.
Oh, man.
And also, you know, being an X5, it's super relevant in this format, so you can't really go wrong with it. The Villanilla creatures.
Yeah. He's going to kill your morph creatures.
Exactly.
He's going to survive.
And survive the Lash of the Whip as well.
Hold on, isn't Lash of the Whip
Did I get the wrong one? Throttle, sorry. Oh my god.
I was like, welcome to Theros, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So Salt Roll Patrol, he's not looking good, right?
Yeah, he's okay.
He's pretty salty.
Yeah. What about a Disdainful Stroke? Something you do before you get a Salt Roll Patrol, I think I did in a recent intro. Anyway, that was... Anyway. One and a... island for an instant counter target spell with converted mana cost 4 or greater.
In most blue decks, I'm okay to have one, but then you're not first picking it.
It's a pretty good sideboard card.
Yeah.
More than anything else, really.
You have not lived until you've countered Doom Blast.
Are there a lot of big... so it's a counter target spell with converted... Oh, right, so it's a counter target spell. Yeah, so you can take down anything, really.
That's four and above. It has to be expensive. Rhinos. It's randomly awkward in that a lot of the very expensive stuff has morph. So it gets morphed for 3, which you can't counter, and then flipped up, which you can't counter, with Disdainful Stroke. So that does put it in a slightly awkward situation.
Yeah. But if anything else that you can't handle, you sideboard it, bring it in, and just counter it.
Yeah.
You wait for it to arrive and then kill it on arrival, or before arrival.
Pretty
much. Canyon Lurker's 4 and a mountain for a creature who's a human rogue. He's a 5/2. So he's going to die to your morphs. He's the opposite of your Salt Road Patrol. You can morph this guy for 3 and a mountain. You may cast this card face down as to do a creature for 3. There's nothing. There's a lot of text on there, and I was waiting for the, hey, it can also do this.
No, it's just a vanilla 5/2.
That's really expensive, isn't it? 5 for a 5/2?
I don't think you've played it for 5.
Yeah.
I've had 5 mana and I'm just like, nah, I'm going to morph this.
Yeah, it's probably better as a 2/2.
It's better as a 2/2 with, like, getcha potential.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How many red herring morph cards do you like to have? Is that a good thing to play? Because people are going to always just kill them while a morph?
I mean, I like in Limited to have anywhere between, like, 5 to 10 morphs because they're always just, like, grey ogres with upside. And this is one of those grey ogres that, you know, when you attack with 2 morphs and they block your other one, you're like, we'll trade morphs, but I'll flip this one up and you take 5.
Yeah.
It also trades up pretty well, I guess. Salt Road Patrol and cards like that with the 5 toughness. So 5 power isn't irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mid-range out of the one. Are we still leading with Trumpet Blast?
I'm hoping an uncommon
spell. I'll take the Salt Road Patrol.
At the moment?
At the moment, yeah.
Where would you go, Ken?
Salt Road Patrol or Canyon Lurkers.
Yeah.
I think it would depend on the rest of the pack as to what, like, might come back around.
Okay. I think we've already hated this card before. Dutiful Return. 3 and a swamp.
I'm out.
For a sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. Anyone playing this sort of hand?
Nope.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's very... And maybe if you have a super grindy matchup or something... You might want to bring it in.
Yeah.
So you might... If you were, like, in the 5-color mirror and you both, like... You're both 5-color, which shouldn't happen, and you just go infinite time, then maybe this is okay in the sideboard.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm just putting that with a Disdainful Stroke, then.
Yeah.
Archer's Parapet. 1 in a forest. First green card for a 0/5 defender. You can... Each opponent loses 1 life if you pay 1 in a swamp and tap it.
So, Ash, do you like big butts?
And you cannot lie.
Oh, man, you got me. I do like X5s.
I mean, I did play a playset of this in a limited deck recently. That was fun.
That card's pretty good. You just get them for 1 each turn. You don't need to win the game quickly. No one wants to do that.
20 rounds later?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh...
See what? You just set up a massive wall and start tapping
just
away.
Shoot them down slowly.
Yeah, you don't even need to interact with your opponent. Do you?
Yeah.
And it blocks almost everything. It's great.
Yeah.
Except for Canyon Lurkers.
Yeah. But if you've got a play set of them, like here and here, you can lose one.
Yeah.
All right. Where you're really playing this?
Not first picking it. Yeah. It goes into like the long grindy decks, whether that be like Sultai or Abzan, but it's low down there. Like, and these table, you can just pick them up everywhere.
Because it's the old Okax card. It's an off-color activation cycle card. So you're going to have to... It commits you to playing Swamps if you're going to get any benefit out of it, So
yeah.
Not excited. All right. Swiftwater Cliffs. As far as a pick, Swiftwater Cliffs enters the battlefield tapped. You gain a life when it comes in. Ooh. For your red and blue land.
I might actually first pick this over Salt Road Patrol.
It's pretty hard to first pick a land when you don't know what colors you're in. Hmm. But the lands are pretty good. Like, they're definitely like within like first three pickable. So.
And this one is one of the allied or enemy ones. The one that goes into two clans, which is also important.
It's definitely tempting.
So this opens it up a lot more than if you get a gold card with a set of colors on it. That commits you to a set of colors. This you can use across various decks, right?
A couple of different clans, yeah.
But still, it could be an expensive first pick. If you ended up picking that, you kind of are committing yourself to two colors in a way, aren't you?
Not really, because a lot of cards, like, you can often just run, like, a random morph that goes with, like, one or two of your lands but isn't your off-color.
Right.
Because you still get to play a 3-mana 2/2, which is okay, but every now and then you just get to flip it up.
Are there any off-color activation cycle cards that are any good with, like, the red and the blue?
It's, like, Bloodfire Mentor and what's the other one?
The Firehoof Cavalry.
Yeah, we're okay, no.
No, okay. Hey, look, it's Lash of the Whip. It's a Throttle for 4 and a Swamp for an instant target, which gets -4/-4. Can't kill Salt Road Patrol.
Salt Road Patrol's still winning.
He's still winning. Throttle, is that good removal? Because I haven't played this set. That is, there's not a lot of removal around, right?
There is, but there's like a lot of really conditional removal. You know, like -4/-4 doesn't actually kill something straight out, you know?
Like this guy here. Exactly. He's not destroying or killing something.
This is worse than something like Debilitating Injury, because Debilitating Injury comes down, is cheaper, just kills a morph straight up and has a permanent effect, whereas this is only for a turn.
Yeah.
I've been okay with this card, but I never want them particularly highly.
You're never unhappy with at least, you know, a copy of in your black decks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, the difference with something like Throttle is you could play a Trumpet Blast as in a defensive move to... oh, no, you couldn't because that's +2 power.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're still going to die. Yeah. All right. Where are you taking Throttle?
It's better than Canyon Lurkers and still behind the land and Salt Road Patrol.
I can't believe Salt Road Patrol.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's amazing.
Actually, I'd probably put it above the land, personally.
Ooh. Yeah?
Yeah, I like if you're first picking... Like a spell before land. Mostly.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's a decent spell. You know, removal spells are never bad and limited.
This is true.
Yeah.
I've never been sad with my Lash of the Whip.
And then you're playing Swamps, and, you know, Archer's Parapet's bound to table. That's coming back to you.
Exactly, and then you got the combo.
And then your Dutiful Return's going to table the next time. You're practically made.
Yeah.
I'm okay to not get that one.
What about this? Here's another card that fit in that color. Scout the Borders. 2 and a forest for a sorcery. Reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a creature or land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard. Is that a delve deck card?
Yeah, you have to have a lot of delve for this to...
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Or maybe a really greedy mana base. But the card, it's like 3 mana doesn't really do anything unless you actually do have a lot of delve. But even then... It's still not great. Rather be morphing a creature or something like that.
Because if by drawing this off the top of your library into your hand, you're kind of giving yourself a chance of getting a creature or land card anyway, aren't you?
Yeah,
you
haven't
just lost another 4 cards in your graveyard.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
perhaps we forget about that we even drew that card.
Opportunity cost, not good enough.
Yeah. Lens of Clarity. It's an artifact for 1 colorless. You may look at the top card of your library and at face down creatures you don't control. Ooh. These are always messy, aren't they? Because you're not really doing anything. You're just gaining knowledge.
Knowledge is power.
For more. Well, you're not going to waste your limited removal on a morph that isn't worth removing.
Yeah. I mean, this card is not the greatest. Against, like, the morph decks, I boarded them in before because, like, knowing what to block and what not to block is okay. And the random upside of looking at the top card of your deck is there.
And it does say... You may do this at any time.
Yeah.
So you can so you can go for time. Just keep having a look, seeing what they've got, reminding yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 43 minutes and counting.
Oh, man. I have to look at that morph and the top card.
We drew.
That's another decision. Oh, put it back. Oh, okay. Look again. Something might have changed.
Yeah, it's not great.
Isn't that superpowered?
It's probably like... probably the worst card so far.
Yeah. Oh, man, that far. Yeah. So no one's playing for the drag for time approach that I just outlined.
Even not me.
Ash Webster loves the slow plays.
Love the grind.
All right, we're into our uncommon cards. We've got Kintree Invocation for a swamp and a forest. Here we go. That's what this pack's wanting us to do, isn't it? It's a sorcery. Put an XX black and green spirit warrior creature token onto the battlefield, where X is the greatest toughness among creatures you control.
This card goes very well with Archer's Parapet.
That it does.
But what would you mean by that?
Turn 2, Archer's Parapet. Turn 3, 5/5.
Okay, explore. Oh, right. Because it's where X is the greatest toughness. Wow, yeah.
It's a combo.
I have certainly lost to that in Limited more than once and will again.
So does that make you think, you know, you draw that with the deck, with the pack as it is at the moment, you wouldn't expect Archer's Parapet to go out. Would you consider taking that with the idea this is Archer's Parapet's going to table, and then all of a sudden you've got that little combo there?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, it's definitely reasonable. Yeah. Like, you would pretty highly assume that Archer's Parapet's going to come back around.
Definitely, I'd say.
And the card is pretty strong, especially being green-black, you know, in the enemy colours. And there's a lot of real high-toughness cards in those
both Sultai and Abzan.
Exactly.
All
right. You. This is the second pack you've opened up. The third pack. You've had sort of signals there's not a lot of green coming back the other way. Do you still risk it?
Depends on the cards you have. Like, if you're in those colors, you definitely take it, because if you're in those colors, you've already got some of those cards.
Sure, yeah.
Like, if you look at, like, even Salt Rod Patrol is a good example. That is a 4-mana 2/5. And think about how big does your 2-mana spell have to be for you to be happy? Like, I'd happily cast a 2-mana 3/3. Having said that, you do have to bear in mind that sometimes you draw this on an empty board and it does nothing.
You feel very sad.
Yeah. So, like, if there's a solid creature in the pack, you should pick that first, unless you specifically are on, like, the Archer's Parapet plan, packed one or two.
Mm.
But the card has potential. Yeah.
And it's a turn 3 swamp and a forest as well, so you've got a pretty good chance if you're playing those colors. You should be able to get that mana out there by then. And hopefully you've got some fixing. So where's that one going, fellas? Is that high up with that in that consideration, or...?
I'd say probably second best.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's two colors as well, you know, so when you start out your draft, you don't know, you know, what colors you're going into. It's good that it's enemy, but still, you know, you might be in green, but you might not be in black, or you might be, you know, vice versa. Whereas, you know, picking a solid one color card is always sort of the safest thing you can do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You in green?
Yep.
Yep. Ride down red and a white for an instant destroy target blocking creature. Creatures that were blocked by that creature this combat gained trample until end of turn.
One of the best combat tricks in the set, but for very similar reasons to last time, it's a two-color card. You can't really commit.
And it's pretty situational as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not a hard removal spell, like, you have to be attacking them for it to be good.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then it's just really bad.
Yeah, but if you have a good Jeskai or Mardu deck, then this card can actually just be the nuts.
Yeah, it does help you push through, you know, big, beefy blockers like Archer's Parapet.
Yeah.
Okay. Middle of the road.
Yeah.
They can hang out with Canyon Lurkers for now. All right, Bear's Companion.
Oh, this card is so good.
This card is sweet.
Two and a forest and an island and a mountain for a creature who's a human warrior, 2/2. When Bear's Companion enters the battlefield, put a 4/4 green bear creature token onto the battlefield. Wow. Yeah, so you're getting 6/6 for 5.
Across two bodies, which is important.
That is relevant.
Yeah.
This card is very good. This is one of the cards you see and you're like, man, I really want to play Teemo right now. Because if you have two or three of these cards, it's so good.
Makes that Swiftwater Cliffs look interesting, though, doesn't it, as well? In that pack, but you're not going to see that table. Someone's going to grab that at some stage.
Like,
right?
Most likely, but sometimes they do. Like, not especially if you're first picking a card, you know, seven more picks. So most likely chance you're going to, at any point, you're going to get a saltwater cliffs to come back. But
sure.
Yeah.
So where would you place that one, Keen?
Sadly, like, as much as I love this card, it is a three-color card, and you just can't first pick that unless the rest of the pack is trash. So it's still probably, like, Salt Road Patrol or the land.
Oh, so it's still up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very powerful card, but it's not powerful enough to warrant a first pick.
You reckon that's just a blanket rule? Are there any three-color cards that you just go, yeah, I'm...
Flying Crane Technique.
Slam?
Yeah. Flying Crane Technique's good. Some of, like, the Khans, you could definitely... think about maybe like one of the Abzan Ascendancy is also very good, but most of them aren't.
Yeah, like there are exceptions, but a lot of the time you just can't waste your first pick.
Yeah,
especially because like, if you don't end up being in those colors, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So
especially if you're inexperienced at doing drafting, you should definitely steer away from it.
Yeah,
you got to work hard to make it work.
There are a bunch of like two color rares and two color uncommons. And I would feel much better about first picking a two color rare or uncommon over a three color rare or uncommon, just because like being in one color splashing another is doable, but being in one color splashing two colors is really hard.
Yeah. All right. All right. So rare, we've only just got a rare, no foils, is Ankle Shanker, two and a red and a white and a swamp. He's a creature, goblin, berserker. He's a 2/2. He comes out with haste. Whenever Ankle Shanker attacks, creatures you control gain first strike and death touch until end of turn.
This card is a bit of a blowout. Like, if this is one of those cards that, like, if there's a board stall between, like, Mardu and Abzan or Mardu and Sultai, this card just completely destroys it.
Because first strike with death touch is just insane. It's that's just going
to
clean.
It's pretty hard to lose combat with those two keyword abilities.
Yeah, like if they're tapped out and you have this, if they're tapped out, it's a board stall, you play this and attack, you probably just won the game.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very powerful card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And three colors you like playing in?
I'm probably picking the land here.
This pack is pretty horrendous. There's a lot of very average cards.
Yeah.
But it's the most powerful card in the pack, for sure. It's risky, but I don't know. Salt Road Patrol's fine. It's like pretty mediocre. I think I'd just hedge my bets and take the Ankle Shanker.
There's not a lot coming back to you in this pack, is there?
You might get a ride down back, or even a Saltwater Cliffs. Like, you might want to splash a little bit of blue, or you might splash the Ankle Shanker.
Yeah.
But the pack is pretty sad. I don't like Ankle Shanker or Kintree Invocation.
Ankle Shanker, you think you don't want to be playing against Ankle Shanker either, do you?
Yeah, not really.
See him coming out, it's going to be pretty hard to stop.
Yeah.
It's only real drawback is obviously it's not very good in defense. It's only a 2/2 for 5, so if you're behind, it's not great. But if you can
block
draft your deck.
Morph.
Yeah,
and trade.
Yeah.
But he should always be tapped. I mean, when's he going to be defending anyway? He'll be tapped out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you need like a big creature to sort of block for while you're racing or whatever, but.
Yeah,
if you can draft your deck around it, then it's going to be pretty good. So if you get a first pick, you can sort of do that.
Where are you going,
Keen? I'm picking the land.
You're picking the land.
I have not enjoyed drafting Mardu that much. Like, it just hasn't been that rewarding for me, but I've really enjoyed Teemer and Jeskai. So, like, I am slightly more biased towards the Jeskai and Teemer land.
Sure. Yeah, there's always those color combinations your eyes light up on, and you might not be the strongest thing, but you just feel more comfortable with it, especially at this stage of the set, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're just comfortable playing certain cards. All right, cool. Ankle Shanker it is. That was Buster Booster. It's Fate Reforged spoilers. We don't have a theme tune for that.
Well, shucks.
Yeah, anyway. Spoilers!
All yes!
Right. Here's your time. Unleash your enthusiasm, Kian. Here it comes. You wanted to talk to us about Flamewake Phoenix. He's one of the new guys. What's this guy do?
So, I love Phoenixes.
Tell us what he is.
Oh, okay. Flamewake Phoenix is one red, so 3 converted mana cost. He is a rare Phoenix. Has flying and haste, which are 2 pretty sweet keywords.
That's pretty fun.
It does attack each turn if able. So if you play it, it's coming down, it's swinging, and it's smashing your opponent.
It's a 2/2.
Yep. You can smash your opponent little bits at a time.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing about this card is it has an ability, Ferocious. At the beginning of your combat on your turn, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, you may pay red. If you do, return Flame Wake Phoenix from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Doing the Phoenix.
Yeah.
He's coming back from the dead.
Yes. That's a 2-2.
As a 2-2.
I think it's pretty important.
You're flying in haste, though.
Woo!
Like, so, well can turn with haste.
With haste.
But the thing is, like, people laugh at 2 damage, but it adds up. And
I wasn't
like,
laughing. I just didn't say that it was a 2-2, which is probably important that the listeners know.
But no, but that's true, though, isn't it? It's like Vaporkin. Was Vaporkin a 1-1 or a 2-2?
2-1.
2-1. See, him and Welkin Turn, they're just hitting for 2 in the air, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
But they cause a lot of trouble So, and this guy comes back from the dead.
And, like, if...
That two, flavor.
To pair with that analogy... If you play Welcome Turn on 2, it attacks on 3. You play this on 3, it attacks on 3. Like, it's getting in very quickly. A lot.
Sure.
Like, it's going to be very, very difficult to play this on turn 2 with any kind of mana ramp, but it is possible. It requires a mana confluence.
It's fighting with all the other 2-2s that came out the previous round that have got rid of their summoning sickness.
Yeah.
And... but it does require that you have two mountains ready to go.
Yes.
That's the tricky bit, isn't it?
Yeah, so
they obviously fancy this card a bit because they've given it that, you know, it's not two colorless and a mountain.
Yeah.
It's one colorless and two mountains.
Yeah, a two colorless and a mountain, I think this card would be too good because playing it on turn 2 would be very easy in terms of mana. And you could then put it in a bunch of decks, whereas, like, at the moment, to realistically play this card, you do have to be heavy red.
It could be like more of a mono red card, you know, even though it says Ferocious, which usually means teamer, because that's their mechanic. It could be more of a mono red card because, you know, then cards like Fanatic of Mogus, which was the 4-2 for 4, do damage equal to your devotion, becomes a lot better. Obviously, we know with 2 red symbols and Flamewake Phoenix, could see a resurgence of mono red.
It was a rare,
yeah,
cool. Well, sweet looking artwork, too.
Yeah, no, yeah. I want to see one in foil,
yeah, all right. Ash, you have picked out a Brutal Horde Chief, which I can't read because of these stupid printouts that Kian got for us.
Good old
Kian. It's a number and a swamp. What is that number?
I believe it's three.
Three
and a swamp.
All right, well, I've got the rest. He's a creature. He's an orc warrior. He's a 3-3. Whenever a creature you control attacks, defending player loses one life, and you gain one life. And then there's three and... Oh, we've got some...
Red, white.
Oh, is it red, white?
Yep.
Yeah.
Some OCAC stuff happening. Creature your opponent... For that cost, for 5 cost, creatures your opponents control block this turn if able, and you choose how those creatures block. Okay.
So this card's a very...
And
very
I can't tell you what rare he is because...
He's a mythic rare.
Oh, he is. He's a mythic rare.
So he's a great curve topper. No, it's a mythic. It's part of the new cycle of mythic rares that have static ability... Which is an ability that just has an effect when it comes, you know, when it's just sitting there in play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or and then also an activated ability, which is, as you can see, that with the activated ability of red, white, and it being costing 3 and a black, it's in the Mardu colors.
Yeah.
So there's a cycle where you have your of each clan there's a card like that. So this card is kind of, you know, like the old Hellrider-esque card where creatures, instead of dealing damage, you lose life, but when they attack. They do some amount of damage.
You also gain life, which that is so quite an drain. Upgrade on Hellrider.
Hmm.
But it is Hellrider-esque. And but it doesn't have haste, but, you know, especially... So say you curve out, say, you know, in current standard in the Mardu decks, you have a card like, say, Goblin Rabble Master or Hordling Outburst on turn 3. And on turn 4, you play this. And not only are you attacking for 3, with, say, your Hordling Outburst tokens, you're also draining for 3. You know, doing they lose 3, you gain 3. So that's, you know, 6 damage just by playing 2 cards. Not mentioning, you know, if you do Rabble Master, it's pretty nuts as well.
Wasn't it Spiteful Return had that effect as well, where you attacked and the guy just your opponent loses just one life just for you showing up.
Yeah,
exactly. So this looks really good with, like, you know, your token based decks.
Also important to note, not legendary. So, like, for Constructed, if you have 2 of them, that stacks, and that is a scary, like, 2 or 3 of these cards is. A scary multiplier. The game will be over very quickly.
Yeah, it also gives you a lot of reach, right? You know, if the board state gets really stalled out and you just drop a couple of these and all of a sudden you just attack, you know, your alpha attack and they just die, right? Because you know, you're draining them for like 12 or 15 or something silly like that.
Yeah.
Also, its activate ability isn't irrelevant. So what you can do with it, right, is you attack with everybody, you activate it, and what you do is you make all their creatures block your one, say your 1-1 goblin, and all the rest of your creatures can get in.
Yeah, and that's true. I was thinking more like just trying to thin out their board state, but yeah, you can do that, can't you? Just
exactly.
Keep them all on some numpty...
On your silly 1-1 goblin from your other minister, and then hit them for infinite. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful card, and I expect to see a lot of... You know, it fits Carnage. In quite well with the current Mardu decks.
The thing that I like most about this card is Rabble Master's weak point is when they play like a 4-4 or something, because then you just have this silly 2-2 that makes a 1-1 that ships every turn and just dies. Whereas like if you have this and Rabble Master, they're losing one life a turn, and that doesn't sound like much, but it does add up, because all Mardu decks have like Lightning Strike or Chandra or Stormbreak Dragon. Yeah, like
incidental life loss is really important.
Yeah, and like in a format where, you know, Abzan and Sultai are both playing Pain Lands, and you know,
Thoughtseize,
like
fetch lands, Mana Confluence, a lot of like random life loss as well. So it all adds up.
Yeah.
One damage doesn't sound like a lot.
Kian, you've got a Shaman of the Great Hunt, who's 3 and a mountain, I think. It gives his Orc Shaman creature with haste. He's a 4-2. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And he's got a ferocious effect of some really small stuff, which I think is...
Green-blue.
2 green-blue. Draw a card for each creature you control with power 4 or greater.
So this is my favorite card in the set. This is like the Nutter Butter. This is like, I saw this card and I'm like,
Butters.
I know what I want to play, because as soon as I saw this card, I was like, it just, it's beautiful.
Immediately fits into Keane's current green-red monsters deck.
What rarity is it?
It's a mythic.
It's a mythic.
So it's in the same cycle as the Brutal Horde Chief.
Right.
Yeah. It's... This card, you know, like what we were just talking about, like Goblin Rabble Master, you know, even the Phoenix we were talking about before, all these cards are much better when they're attacking. And if you're attacking with 3 Hordling Outburst tokens and they have 1 blocker, 2 of them get through and suddenly they're 2/2s. And then you attack again. And maybe their blocker was only, you know, a 2/1 or a 2/2 or something, you know, suddenly they're trading. With the Phoenix, you know, it's going from 2 to 3 to 4. And this dude also has Trample as well. So stuff like Sylvan Caryatid can't just block this and, you know, not grow it. It just keeps going, and it just gets bigger and bigger. So stuff with flying is really good. Anything with Trample is really good. And it's just a scary effect. And then you've got an activated ability. So if for whatever reason it's not profitable for you to attack, you just get to draw cards for all the dudes you've been building up.
Amping up the whole time,
and, like... Any deck that's playing this card is going to have 4 power things, so that activated ability is almost always going to be draw 2.
Well, at its worst, right, it's going to be draw 1.
Drawing 1, because he's a 4-2 himself.
Yeah, so well, it's never dead, which is really important.
At its worst, it is activate the ability. Oh, shit, it got downfalled.
Yeah, it's fine, but at least it got in for 4.
Yeah.
So, like, these green-red X decks have been really lacking a hasty sort of 4-drop, sorry, because they've had... Ashcloud Phoenix and Polukranos, but they've always been sort of, they've been okay, but a bit mediocre, but having something that you can come down on turn 4, you know, following up your Rabble Master, it's really, really important.
That first attack going to be nervy though, isn't it? Like, you know, him having haste on it, I can see not being used quite frequently, isn't it? Because he's only 2 toughness, so he's easily killed. If they've got a morph, they'll probably jump on him because they know they don't want the rest of your guys getting huge. So, do you think you foresee the haste being that effective?
Bear in mind, like, even if you attack with it and it dies, any of your creatures that dealt combat in that dealt damage in that combat step also get a counter. So if I have like 2 2-2s and this, and they have a 4-power dude, I'm just going to attack with this and my 2 2-2s, expecting to turn my 2-2s into 3-3s and trade with their dude.
Yeah.
And that's a perfectly fine trade for me.
So then you've paid 4 costs to get +1/+1, 2 +1/+1 tokens.
And kill their thing.
Okay.
It's also, you know, very good in, like, when you're top decking, right? Like, you know, you trade a bunch of cards and resources and, like, you draw this, they have nothing, you attack, and it just sort of escalates so quickly, you know, advantage.
He's one of those guys that's going to get out of hand if you let it happen.
And if you live in sort of, like, magical, you know, Christmas fairyland, and say you're on the play,
that's
right, and you go...
drove in from.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to pick him up
from there on the way. But say you're on the play, right, and you go turn 1 Elvish Mystic, turn 2 Goblin Rabble Master, get a token, attack for one. Turn three, you drop this guy. Now you've got two tokens and a Goblin Rabble Master. And, you know, say your opponent went tap land, all of a sudden you're attacking for, you know,
eight,
a lot. And then all your dudes get counters on. You've got four guys with plus one counters on them now. Like, it's just, it's really ridiculous when you have, like, an on-the-play draw with Elvish Mystic.
You played Magic against me, haven't you? Ash, you're talking about Whisperwood Elemental. He's a 3/2 forests. He's a creature. He's an elemental.
It's also a mythic rare.
Pick it up in your in the title. He's a mythic rare as well. He's a 4/4. It's a shitload of text on this one.
Yeah.
At the beginning of your end step, manifest the top card of your library. Ooh, manifest. We'll get into that, eh? Manifest the top card of your library. So you put it onto the battlefield face down as a 2/2 creature. Turn it up. Turn it face up any time for its mana cost if it's a creature card. So I'm reading like this because the letters are tiny. Sacrifice Whisperwood Elemental until end... if you sacrifice Whisperwood Elemental until end of turn, face up non-token creatures you control gain. When this creature dies, manifest the top card of your library. What the hell does all that mean, Ash?
Well...
a lot of words.
There is a new mechanic, and it's called Manifest. And it's kind of similar to Morphrite, but instead of being able to... be suited to certain creatures, you can manifest... like, it just comes off the top of your deck most of the time, so it could be anything. You know, you could have a land, and all of a sudden it becomes a 2/2, right? So it's not just creatures. And the way Manifest works is, if it is a creature, you can pay its mana cost to flip it up. But this is my sort of favourite card so far of the set, because I'm a big fan of green creatures that kind of do, you know, extra little things, you know, get a bit of extra incremental advantage. From the beginning, it says, as you say, at the beginning of your end step, manifest the top card. So apparently Wizards have sort of transitioned into cards having effects at the end step instead of, you know, the beginning of your upkeep. That way, if it just dies on your opponent's next turn, at least it's done something. So it's, you know, sort of transitioning into... you can see it here. Also, the fact that you can sacrifice it, and it gives all your other creatures the ability that when they die, you get to manifest one. So say your opponent casts End Hostilities on your board of a bunch of, you know, Mana Dorks, Elvish Mystics, Sylvan Caryatids, and you can immediately sacrifice this, and then you get like an army of 2/2s off the top of your deck. So it's sort of a good insurance against Wrath effects as well.
And
so,
like, some of those 2/2s will be creatures, because if you've manifested 3 or 4 cards, you know, one or two of them will be land, one or two of them will be a creature, and then maybe a removal spell or whatever. But you can only flip up the creature. But they don't know which one it is, so you just get to attack with your army of 2/2s.
This reminds me of one thing that I was always told when I was starting to play Magic. Magic is not a memory game. Now, surely with this Morph of Thing effect, one of the first tips you had for this, Kian, was remember what that card is, so you're not looking at it every 5 seconds and giving a potential read to someone. These cards, you could just have like a shiteload of cards out there. Some are lands, you know, some are creatures, some are instants, you know, sorts of stuff. You're going to lose your friggin' mind. You know, you're going to need a small manifest of your own being scribbled underneath the table just to remember what you're playing.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, everything that's not a creature, you can just ignore. Because everything that's not a creature has no text. Like, it's just a 3-mana 2/2. Well, not even a 3-mana 2/2. You don't pay its cost. It's just a 2/2 because you can't flip up land, you can't flip up instants, you can only flip up creatures. So
in limited, that's pretty dangerous, because if you've got only a few like removal cards and you're waiting for that removal card to come, and then all of a sudden it's a 2/2 on the table there, you're like, I'm not going to remove that. I'm not going to be able to take that bomb down when it arrives.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a bit of a downside, isn't it? You could
manifest does make things a bit more difficult to play around though. You know how Morph in Limited, right? You sort of could remember all the Morphs that your opponents could possibly have. Now with Manifest, right? Yes. You have no idea. Like, it could just be a land, or it could actually be some bomb creature. You never know, right? So it is going to add an interesting element to Limited Manifest, and specifically like this creature, just because of the fact that, you know, it's going to be so much harder to play around what this face-down creature, because it could just be a land, or it could be, you know, some huge creature. But unlike Morph, you don't have a list of... you can't sort of, you know, remember all of them.
And each round, you're getting a 2/2 out.
Exactly. So it's
you're mowing down that, you're just attacking into their morphs.
Yeah.
Like willy-nilly. All right. I chose Temporal Trespass, which is cheaply priced at 8/3 islands. It's a sorcery. It's a delve card. It says, take an extra turn after this one. Exile Temporal Trespass, which is always fun. I don't know what rarity it is because we're reading off black and white prints here. It's a mythic, is it?
Yeah. Generally, if a card says take another turn, mythic.
My second question is this any good? And it seems way too heavily priced for it to be played. My first question is, for those who've seen it in colour, is she a babe?
Yeah.
She looks like a babe.
She looks a bit evil.
That's okay. I like evil babes.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever met my wife? No. She doesn't listen.
No.
I mean, completely on an aside,
yeah.
One of my favourite flavour texts of the set.
Few truly live in the moment.
Yep.
Remember that.
Maybe it'll come later. Up later.
Perhaps.
Anyway.
It's also flavorful because of its fate reforged, and we're in the past now.
Yeah.
So take a temporal trespass to Karns.
Yeah, this is the take an extra turn card in, was it Theros?
Time Walk. Oh, no.
No,
it was Sage of Hours. That was in Journey into Nex.
There was also one in Karns Attack here, which is the artifact, Ugin's Nexus.
I'm going for.
Oh, Metamai of the Ageless?
Yeah, Metamai. That's the guy. Flying Lion or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
4-4.
All right, enough of this nonsense. Ash, he chose Torrent Elemental. And now for the spoiler, pretty much all I can read is that it's 4 in an island for a 3-5. The rest of it is in an Asian text of some kind that I'll guess is Japanese.
It looks very Japanese.
No offense to our Asian
friends. It is Japanese.
If it's another language. Hello, all of our Japanese friends. We love you dearly.
Please translate this card for us.
All right, so it's a 4 and a blue for a creature elemental with flying. Whenever Torrent Elemental attacks, tap all creatures defending player controls. It's also a mythic rare, and it's part of the cycle of Shaman of the Great Hunt and Brutal Horde Chief. So it has an activated ability that has 3 black-green, return Torrent Elemental from exile to the battlefield tapped. Activate this ability only any time you could cast a sorcery, and it's a 3-5. So this card is pretty
Can
insane.
Can you digest all of that?
This card is interesting. I'll put it that way.
So there's a deck at the moment. It's called Sadisi Whip.
Ash loves it.
So it's in Assault High Colors. Pretty much what it does is it mills a bunch of itself and then uses the card with Erebos to reanimate big fatties like Hornet Queen, Doomweight Giant, other copies of Sadisi. It's just sort of like a value deck using the graveyard. It also uses cards like Murderous Cut, which are Delve. Sometimes they have Treasure Cruise as well, which is also a Delve card.
Yeah.
So it exiles its cards from its graveyard to pay for spells to make them cheaper, such as like Temporal Trespass, but that's a bit deep. Anyway, the real value in this card is the fact that like you can mill it, say with a Seder Wayfinder, and then...
Murderous Cut their dude.
Yeah, Murderous Cut their dude, exiling Torrent Elemental, and then later in the game... You can just cast it from your grave, from exile, which is, you know, I'm pretty sure it's only ever been seen before this sort of mechanic in a card called Mist Hollow Griffin, where you've been able to cast it from exile. But so it's pretty rare effect and looks pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. So, Kian, you've chosen any Planeswalker so far? Eugene, the Spirit Dragon.
This is one of the more like. Straightforward, powerful Planeswalkers Wizards has printed in a while.
Yeah.
Because what he reads is very complicated.
Okay, so he's an 8-cost Planeswalker. He comes in with 7 loyalty points.
Which is quite a lot.
That is quite a lot. For a +2, how would we say it really? It's not Eugene. Eugen?
Ugin.
You were saying that it's a quiet G, which just makes it Ewan, like Ewan McGregor. Ewan.
I think it's Ugin.
Ugin.
It's like Ugin's Nexus and Ugin's Destroyer and stuff.
Okay. Ugin the Spirit Dragon deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Lightning Bolt's always good.
All right. For negative X, exile each permanent with converted mana cost X or less that's 1 or more colors. Oh, so you're coming in with 7 loyalty points. You can do a lot of damage there, right?
Yeah, you can remove everything on the board that has converted mana cost 6 or less straight away. 7 if you actually just want to straight up kill Ugin.
For your Delve cards, do you go off the converted mana cost of what's on the card or what they paid for it?
Ooh.
Sorry?
If for Delve cards, do you pay what they paid for it or do you pay what's on the card?
So it's what's on the card.
What's on the card.
Yeah,
right.
So it's converted mana cost.
And then its ultimate is a -10. So that's 2 returns away. You gain 7 life, draw 7 cards, then put up to 7 permanent cards from your hand onto the battlefield. I think Wizards of the Coast are giving us a bit of a silent nod here. Prevalence of seven.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Seven land handing there. Thanks, Wizards. Wink, wink. We've got you. We hear
you. You could draw seven, gain seven. It's almost
they
like
could
seven,
draw seven
episodes.
Lands.
You yeah. could draw seven lands. Yeah. Yeah. You're allowed to do that. They're saying, here's your chance to do it.
There should be a little like achievement that you get when that happens. yeah. You know, Seven Land Hand podcast achievement unlocked.
A little badge appears on the table. Yeah. Yeah, with a charging badger on it. Okay.
I'd be okay with that.
Go through this for us, Kian. What are we doing with
Yujin? This is an interesting card because it might actually completely vault over standard, never see play, and destroy modern. Which is very strange for an expensive card. Mm. The reason behind that is in Modern there is a deck called Tron. Tron plays with a set of three lands. Essentially, it's called Urza's Power Plant, Urza's Mine, and Urza's Tower. And when you have all three of them out together, in combination they tap for seven, which is a lot of mana. So, like, turn four, in theory, you can play this, and you can just kill everything. Every creature, every enchantment, every planeswalker below six, and then you just have a lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. So, like, then they play a dude, you're like, oh, lightning bolt it. Play another dude, lightning bolt it. And, like, you just get this incredible engine that just keeps going.
He's pretty survivable, isn't he? There's not a lot that's going to take that down. Is there, Ash? You know, it's like he's coming out for seven. He's not,
a lot of people sort of rate planeswalkers and how well they protect themselves. And this also does it in two ways, by the way, of the lightning bolt plus two and the fact that it has seven loyalty. So, you know, being able to play it down, plus it up to nine, you know, that sort of protects itself, right? It takes a lot of hits from Siege Rhinoceros to kill it or whatever, you know, format you're in.
Yeah.
Are there any planeswalker destroying removal out there at the moment? Or are we having to go back a set?
Utterend and Hero's Downfall are the ones in standard. Still. In limited...
There's also Garrick, the Apex Predator.
Yeah.
He also has a plus one that says kill target planeswalker.
This is Raymond Swanland rare, mythic rare as well. We haven't had that in a long time.
It's really pretty. For those who don't know, this is actually the artwork on the Fate Reforged Game Day playmat as well. So going to look really sweet. I'm really excited to see those in person.
Man, that's one of the shut down the podcast criteria. Imagine having a playmat, Raymond Swanland, with his autograph, seven land talent on there, boom. I'm just one meeting away from Kate Beckinsale and we don't have to do this anymore. Awesome. And I'm looking forward to that.
I'll play that.
Yeah. Ash, you're going for Collagen, the Storm's Fury. Now, this reminds me of when my mother-in-law tells me about her knees and how there isn't any collagen on there and it feels like the Storm's Fury. Is there anything to do with that?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, okay.
I'd assume not.
Give us your impression of this card then.
All right. So this is in a cycle of...
I should tell you what he does, right?
Yeah.
That's important.
That's probably a good idea.
All right, he's three, a swamp and a mountain for a legendary creature dragon. They're all legendary. All the dragons are legendary creatures. He's a 4/5. He's got flying like all the dragons. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. He's got dash, which we'll get to again soon. Three in a swamp and a mountain. You may cast this spell for its dash cost. If you do, it gains haste, and it's returned from the battlefield to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. What does all that mean? And is he rare, mythic rare?
He's rare. He's in a cycle of rare dragon legendary creatures.
Yeah.
So there's going to be one for sort of each clan.
Yep.
Okay. And this is going to be in the Mardu one, I believe. They all have the allied colors in their casting cost.
Yeah.
So I like the look of this guy by the fact that we haven't actually had that many other dragons spoiled so far in this set, but it could be further along. But when it attacks, it's going to become a 5/5, and it has the keyword dash. So what that does for this is it means you can play it on turn five, and it immediately has haste as well. So you get that, you know, a boosted effect from whenever a dragon creature attacks, creatures you control get +1/+0. So say you have a bunch of goblin tokens or creatures before that you've cast, they all get now +1/+0 when you cast it on turn five, you know, paying its dash cost. Also, dash allows it to sort of dodge the sorcery speed removal because it gets returned to your hand at the beginning and at the end of your end step. So, you know, cards like End Hostilities can't deal with it, you know, if you want to play around that, or whatever other sorcery speed removal like Banishing Light and Enchantment removal like that. So
dash it, you just sort of blatten it down on the battlefield, letting it do its thing, bring it back.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, here, deal with it now, or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just take five every turn. So, yeah, it's in the cycle and it looks pretty exciting. We'll see how good it is or not, but...
All right, cool. All right, there's a whole bunch of other spoilers out there. We've ignored the rest so far. But how many cards have been spoiled to date?
We have 60 so far, but 10 of them are the Gain Life lands from Khanza Tahir again.
Yeah, nice.
So for those of you who don't know, in Fate Reforged, there is no basic land. So in the basic land slot in your booster packs, you will either get a Gain Life land or a fetch land. So a fetch land will be suitably rare. Like, you're probably not going to get them 1 in 5. I think you'll probably get them about 1 in 10, 1 in 15 booster packs.
Yeah.
So you're looking at maybe 2 or 3 a box. But the cool thing is, for limited, this means that lands are going to be really abundant, which means, you know, fixing is always going to be around.
Yeah.
And it,
which is handy when we're playing 3-color decks.
Yeah, and it won't...
Or 5-color.
Or 5-color,
of course. And it won't necessarily take up slots in your booster pack. So you know how sometimes we've opened Khanza Tahir boosters, and you've had, like, a banner and 2 Gain Life lands and a tri-land or whatever. That's 4 cards, whereas instead there's just going to be 1 per pack.
So you'd actually be drafting the land. The land then goes into the draft, doesn't it? So there'll be more cards, right? Because you're not just tossing the land into the middle of the table.
Yes, it means that the packs themselves go 1 extra.
Right. All right. Anything else we want to say as a parting shot to what we've got so far? Do we know what does it say? Cards, how many cards? 185 or is it 165?
It's 165.
185.
Oh, 185.
So
really?
About a third of the way there.
About a third of the way through, yeah.
Hmm.
With a week to go, spoilers.
We've probably got most of the interesting cards out of the way at this point.
How do you know, Kian?
They usually release the commons and uncommons on the last day of spoilers. They're usually about 60 or so of those.
Yeah, so we've probably got about 50 or so more spoilers that are interesting, and then you'll be 50, like, really good limited cards, basically.
Yeah, and you think Eugene is going to be your investment card so far? Because if he's going to be big and modern, so no one's going to play him in limited, no one's going to play him in constructed. Gather them while everyone's laughing at them.
Foils are worth so much. Like, people have been saying that foil, like, Ugin's are, like, $100, you know. Oh, it's EDH players love it.
Yeah.
EDH players will love it. I'll agree with that.
Ash is like, they can love it. I'll stay over here.
It's time for a blob.
Flavor text. Flavor text.
Nom, 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 nom.
Flavor text. Flavor text.
That's how that's how it goes. That's how the jingle goes.
Yeah.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah.
Flavor text. Now, I know I've made this easy for you guys now. Because, you know, we haven't got Aaron sitting here, you know, the orb of MTG genius.
Aaron, Grandmaster of Cards, is not here.
We don't have to put up with that.
Had to turn the difficulty knob down just a little bit.
Flavor text. It's all about Khanza Tahir.
Oh!
That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm still going to lose.
You've been holding
God.
These cards for weeks.
5 months now, right?
5 months. Oh. All right. Here we go, then. All right.
I might actually win a week.
Flavor text number one. You know how this works. I read out the flavor text. It goes to what card it's from. Flavor text number one. The calligraphy of combat is written with strokes of sudden blood.
What?
Oh, God.
Oh, really? Come on. I thought this would be down to one error. The calligraphy of combat is written with strokes of sudden blood.
I'm just going to take a punt. I don't actually have no idea.
I'm going to sit on that one for a bit.
Okay. Question number two. There may be little honor in my tactics, but there is no honor in losing. You got that one? Anyone? There may be little honor. There's another theme to this as well, by the way.
Yeah,
so, you know. Khanza Tahir, flavor text. Number two. Was there maybe little honor in my tactics, but there is no honor in losing. Are we all happy with our answers for this question?
Yes.
I'm not happy, but I have one.
It's going to be the same low scoring
as when... 0-0.
Yeah. Champions of Kamigawa, bloody...
I just start reading cards more.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Question three. Those who have never ridden before the wind do not know the true joy of war.
I want to say Mantis Rider, but that card doesn't have text.
Don't say cards out aloud. However, we've learned.
So there's a second like sub theme. So it's not. It's cards attack here and that is all.
And there's another theme as well. There's another theme within that.
All right.
Those who have never ridden before the wind do not know the true joy of war. Ash has got answers. His pen's down.
I'm just guessing the third one based off my first two. Off the theme.
And Kian has his finger in his eye.
Oh, this is bad.
Do you need any more time?
Yes, I definitely need time.
No, you've had time.
All right, looks like I'm asking Kian for his answer first. All right, hit the answers. Flavor text. Khan's attack here. The calligraphy of combat is written with strokes of sudden blood. Kian.
Monastery Swift Spear.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, my theme is so wrong.
Monastery.
Maybe they're all Jeskai cards.
Next leveled you by not writing anything.
Yeah, well played, Kian. Is that actually the answer?
I think so, yes.
Ash, your answer is?
Anafenza, the foremost.
Anafenza.
No flavor text on that one.
Isn't it?
And the answer is Monastery Swift Spear.
Rough.
Yes.
All right.
Now Kian writes it down.
He's doing the whole thing by memory, just to show off about what I said about remembering your Morgan cards.
Oh, God. Why am I?
All right, Kian, one. Ash. How do you spell zero? it's the same. All right.
Starts with a one.
Question two. It starts with a one at this stage. There may be little honor in my tactics, but there is no honor in losing. Kian, what is your answer?
I think it's Mardu Horde Chief.
Mardu.
Oh, my God. How do you know all this? Chief. You played too much Limited.
Ash, what is your answer? What have you got written down?
I want to change my answer though. Let's go with Zergo.
Zergo.
The Helm Smasher.
Zergo Helm Smasher.
You keep picking cards that don't have flavor text.
Don't have any flavor text?
There's too much text on these
cards.
How
do you know this?
I read cards.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can't read what.
Also, this is 100% guess. The first one I knew because I play it in modern. This one's a guess.
What was yours? Mardu what?
Horde Chief.
Horde Chief. Right, I wrote HC down. I didn't know what I was looking for. And the answer is Mardu Hateblade.
Ah!
I was close.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, so it's still one zip.
I picked a Mardu card. That means my last one's super wrong.
All right. Any thoughts on what the theme might be? Secondary thought?
They're both red cards. No, they're not. Both Mardu? No, they're not. Oh, God. They're both one drops.
You might be able to think of the theme.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
All right, Kian.
Charging Badger.
Final question.
Lock it in.
Charging Badger.
Those who have never ridden before the wind do not know the true joy of war.
Firehoof Cavalry.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Oh, God.
Firehoof. Are you both going for Firehoof?
I was literally starting to write it down.
Cavalry. Yeah. You're both. Yeah, you're wrong. It's Mardu Heart Piercer.
Ah.
So still one zip.
Yes.
The secondary thing.
Yeah, I think you overjudged my theme. It was just Khan's of Tarkir cards beginning with M. So you had Monastery Swift Spear, Mardu Heart Hateblade, and Mardu Heart Piercer.
Well played, Mr. Wildsmith.
I just went to the M part of my thought that'll do. Oh. All right. Now, I don't want to give. Oh, no, it's pretty hard to give an
answer.
All
right, I've got to get at least one right.
All right, that was flavor text. One zip.
So flavorful.
I told you, high scoring. I thought we'd just come back now while Kian's texting his or checking Facebook. We're doing Fate Reforged Part 2. New mechanics. We've got a bolster, which is the Abzan mechanic. What's going on with bolster? Can you explain bolster to us, Kian?
So all cards that read bolster basically have bolster, X, some number, and basically you select one of the cards you have with the lowest toughness and you put that many 1/1 counters on it. So the kind of biggest example at the moment is Sandstep Mastodon. It reads, it's a 7-mana 5/5, but its ability is when Sandstep Mastodon enters the battlefield, bolster 5. Choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put 5/1/1 counters on it.
All right, yeah.
So it's kind of like Outlast on crack.
Yeah. So at the moment, we haven't seen that many bolster cards. Like, I think there's only two that have been spoiled. But it's their mechanic, so you'll probably see like 10, 15 cards in the end. Yep. And
not as big as 5.
Yeah.
They'll be doing the exciting ones at the moment, won't they?
We have one that's 2 and we have one that's 5.
We have one that's X.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's a lot of exciting options for this. It's just, it's just an interesting mechanic. It's a different way to do things. And, yeah, it's kind of exciting.
Is this going to roll over and be of any use in Constructed Ash?
Like Outlast, the Abzan mechanic in Khans, it's more of a limited mechanic, really. It's a little bit slow and, you know, it sort of requires a bit more of a board presence. It does make your smaller creatures, say, like, you know, your Elvish Mystics and stuff like that, actually do something, you know, in the later game. But it depends how, you know, any mechanic can make its way in the stand. Depends how pushed they make the cards, really.
Yeah. It has a higher potential than Outlast, because Outlast's biggest problem in Constructed is to use Outlast, you had to take a turn off on the creature, whereas Bolster just does a thing. So if there's like a 4-mana 4/4 that bolsters for 2, you'll probably see that played.
Yeah. So it can be strong and limited if all of a sudden there's going to be a ton of common cards that are using it and you're getting loads of value for nothing.
Yeah.
But I think in Constructed, at the end of the day, you're still going to be playing bomby cards, aren't
yeah, yeah.
So you're not really going to get a lot of
it's
mileage.
Going to be a very good limited mechanic, I think.
Yeah.
It could make its way into Constructed, but it's we'll have to wait and
see.
Also, bear in mind, for those newer players, if a card reads Bolster and you have no other creatures, it will target itself.
Okay.
And if it has two of the same, so say you have 2/1s, you get to choose.
Yeah.
So what's your favourite card with this with Bolster so far that we've seen?
Sadly, there hasn't been that many Bolster cards, so it's kind of hard to choose.
You still have a favourite. If you've got 3 ugly children, one of them will still be your favourite.
The green-white legendary dragon has Bolster attached to it. There's also a card called Dragon Scale General, which is 3 and a white human warrior. At the beginning of your end step, Bolster X, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control, and it's a 2/3. So that's a pretty interesting card.
So you can use that with tokens.
Yeah,
you
pretty much.
You get a crap load of tokens.
Yeah, exactly.
X becomes a big number.
Yep.
My choice is probably the dragon. One of the reasons I'm quite excited for this dragon is I love Naya, so at some point I'm going to try and play it in Constructed.
That's what the question had snuck in there. Is this going to be an impact in Constructed?
It will be in Keane's house. Christmas land.
I love Christmas.
All right, Dash. It's the Mardu mechanic. What the hell's that doing? What are we doing with Dash? We touched on it earlier on a little bit.
So Dash is randomly going to make Limited hard. Because essentially, like, 15 cards in the set just got haste.
Yeah, how does it work?
So Dash basically reads, for whatever cost, a card gets Dash. And what Dash does is you get to play the creature. It gains haste until end of turn. But at the end of the turn, you return it to your hand.
Yeah.
Now, most of the Dash cards have an effect. So...
We saw that with the collagen card.
So a good example is the... I can't remember its exact name because the spoiler is in German, but I know what the card does.
Just give it to us in German.
Chief Assaulter Mardun.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting there.
It is a 2-mana swamp, so 3 converted mana cost. It's a 3/2. It has Dash for 4, so 3 and a swamp. And it reads, when it enters the battlefield... when it attacks, put a 2/1 warrior into play attacking. So obviously, if you dash multiple times, you know, that's really good. And the turn that you dash
it... And that
it,
stays out there.
Yeah.
So you're creating a creature, you're zipping your own card back, and he's still out there.
Yeah. So, if you dash this card, you're swinging in for 5 on what was potentially previously an empty board. And, you know, there's another dash creature that stops a creature from blocking. So it means that the Mardu cards basically have haste, which means that, you know, there's going to have to be a lot of... If you're on a low life total, you have to be really careful because 15 cards from this set have haste. We haven't seen them all, but they do.
A lot of dash cards as well. Their dash cost will be slightly lower than their converted mana cost. So you couldn't dash them, say, the turn before you could actually cast them. So you're going to say a card is cost 5 with a converted mana cost of 5. You know, it might have a dash cost of 4. So on turn 4, you can actually dash it in and then, you know, cast it normally on turn 5 if you wanted to.
Yeah.
The card we were talking about before... had the dash card was the same. As
it was,
actually,
yeah. There's another card called Flamecrush Rider, which is 4 and a mountain, and you can dash it for 2 and 2 red mountains. So, you know, there's a little bit of play to them like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Constructed, we're going to see these cards?
I think this is more likely to be in Constructed because every single card that we've seen so far with Dash has had an effect. So they all have an enter the battlefield effect or an attack effect.
They're more of when they attack. Yeah. Because obviously when you're dashing, you want to be attacking with it.
It also, I mean, if a lot of these cards are going to be legendary creatures, that's going to assist in that because they're not sitting out there on the dashboard, on the battlefield.
On the dashboard.
What did I call the dashboard? On the,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Dash.
Yeah, well, oh, well man.
Yeah,
passive puns by Wildsmith.
I meant that, yeah. so they're going to flash out onto the screen. No, let's just... They're going to come out on the battlefield, they're going to come back into your hand. There's no legendary creature there that you can have to choose, you know, between.
Yeah.
So you could have two or three of them in your hand, and you can use this one this time. That one.
Oh. And again, if you're worried about sorcery speed removal, they tend to dodge that as well. So
yeah. All right. So what's your favorite card with a dash so far?
My favorite card is the 4-mana 3/2 that Ash mentioned, the one that stops something from blocking, purely because in limited, like, that card is going to change a lot of things. Because a lot of times in limited, you leave back one blocker for their two attackers or whatever, because it trades with either, which means the attack isn't very profitable. But if you dash this guy out, suddenly that guy can't block. You're attacking with an additional 3 power and the 2 dudes you already had.
Yeah. Ash, you...
Keen is actually referencing a different card, but the one I was talking about, what it does is when it attacks, put a token onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking, that's a copy of another target attacking creature, and an exile, obviously, the token at the end of combat. So what you can do with this is you can trigger cards like Wingmate Rock. So you can copy your Wingmate Rock, because you can attack, trigger, get your token, and it can be a copy of Wingmate Rock. And then Wingmate Rock's trigger, I believe, triggers, because it's attacking, so you get, like, the little bird token on top of it. So it's a bit of a combo, and people...
It's just a bit greedy, Ash, you know?
Just, you know, a little bit greedy. You just have, a lot of things season, going on. I've been spending too much time with Kane.
Yeah, I thought after Christmas you'd have been a bit more giving, but you're just taking. He's a guy with like cranberry sauce all over his t-shirt.
He's too keen for this.
Too keen.
No. I've also worked on, I'd like to now, instead of calling him Collagen, the Storm's Fury, I'd like to think for Dirty Harry fans out there, it's actually Callahan, the Storm's Fury, which was the name of the final Dirty Harry movie, which never actually made it to the screen.
Huh.
That's what I'd like to put out there. And I'd like to see people play it and say, do you feel lucky, punk? See if that gets out there into popular culture.
Yeah.
Manifest.
So
is this just... We've talked about this in the cards that we've mentioned before. Sounds like there's a new play on morph here.
So it's really cool because a bunch of the morph cards from Karns have effects that say when you flip this card up, do things. So if you manifest... one of those cards, you can still flip them up for that value, but, you know, it could also just be a land. It's this really exciting take on morph, which is really different, and it's probably one of the best mechanics Wizards have ever made. You know, there are older players who are going ape over this, you know.
Yeah.
One of my friends, David Thompson, you know, he's specifically going to pre-release because
David
of
Thompson?
This. Oh, friend.
A friend. Okay. No, that's good. Hi, Dave. We love you dearly, and hello. We love all our David Thompson friends.
You know, he's going to a pre-release when he's on a holiday just because he wants to play with this mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, that's how exciting some people...
He just likes to lie to people, though, and that's basically what you're doing here, isn't it? You're just throwing out a whole bunch of cards going, could be something serious underneath that.
Yeah.
Or
is there? It could just be my forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So something we didn't touch on earlier about Manifest is that you can flip the card up for its morph cost or its mana cost. Mana cost. So there are a few cards, right, whose...
Also, if it's an actual morph.
Yeah, so there are cards where... What morph cards say is that when it's flipped up, this effect happens.
Yeah.
And because you can flip them up for its converted mana cost, you get cards that, like, say, Master of Pearls, which is a 1 and a white... when it's turned up for 5 mana, everything gets +2/+2. You can now do that for 1 and a white and get that, insane
effect. Get the effect for a lot less. Wow.
And, like, there's also the 5 ones that flip up for free. So, like, imagine if you manifest a card and you didn't pay for it. So, you know, if we go back to the 5 mana 4/4, the elemental, if you manifest the Tima Charger, the one that stops something from blocking, you know, and then you've gained a 2/2 for free because the card ability happened. You didn't pay any mana for that, and you flipped it up, and you didn't pay any mana for that. You just revealed a card from your hand. So there's a lot of exciting options and different things that are going to happen.
Yeah. That's cool. So, and then additionally, we've got hybrid mana and modal cards. What's going on with those?
So we've already talked about hybrid mana a little bit. Hybrid mana are those cards that have two colors in them.
You're talking about the OCAX, the off-color yeah. activation cycle.
So Wizards have come out and said
Seven Land Hand trademark that one. Ding.
Wizards has come out and said that none of the cards' casting costs will be hybrid mana, but a lot of the cards have activated abilities hybrid mana.
Yeah.
And one of the things that a lot of people forget or just slightly overlook is that if you only have one of those colors, you can still use it. So all these cards that we were talking about that have two colors of an activated ability, you only need to pay one side of them. So potentially your two-color limited decks or even your two-color constructed decks can still take advantage of them.
But it's still not going to swing the format greatly, though, because you're only going to be getting one pack of this amongst two packs.
Yeah.
So there's still going to be plenty of multicolored cards out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the modal cards?
The modal cards, this is the new way that Wizards is putting out cards that used to have ore in them. So, you know, the charms from Khans are a good example.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, there's the highest...
What have Wizards gone and invented here?
The polka dot.
Bullet point.
Yeah.
The bullet point, yep.
Yeah. You wait till they take down Microsoft Word.
Oh, man.
We go, we've invented the bullet point. You seem to be using them quite a lot. I think it was.
Imagine if one day they put bullet point on the revised list. We'll be in trouble then.
Imagine if there's a card called bullet point. Nah. All right. What are returning mechanics, Ash? What's coming back? What can we...
We've got Delve.
Not forget.
Delve for Sultai.
Yeah.
We've got Prowess for Jeskai. And we have Ferocious for Teemer. So, they're all right. Not as exciting as the new mechanics, but, you know, we've been playing with these for a long time now, so...
Yeah, these new mechanics, actually.
Try and true.
I'm in the Kian boat at the moment. Actually, really quite exciting. You know, I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited as well.
Yeah. All right. So, that's the general mechanics rundown on Fate Reforged. So, kids, remember, it's not a battlefield if you're playing a dash card. It's a dashboard.
It's a dashboard.
That, and it's locked in now. Good stuff.
So many trademarks.
That's really good.
MTG Card Quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
13. That comes after 12.
That was earlier, Ash. 13. Correct. You win the Sesame Street Award. All right, that's one Calippo down and about eight cans of Coke. We're ready. Are you ready for MTG Card Quiz? Right. I've taken a leaf out of Sarah Underwood's book this week.
Okay.
Partly because in searching for a format for today's MTG Card Quiz, I was cleaning my shed, so I didn't have a lot of time. And also because it went down a treat at the Beer and Pizza Show, which you can tune into the last two episodes to find out what that was all about. I've come up with anagrams. These are three cards. Their names have been turned... There's an anagram of their names. And
okay.
I'll tell you the anagram, and you have to work out what the actual card is.
Okay.
There's a hilarious moment in the last podcast I'd like to point out where Sarah said, the letters have been shuffled. And I said, so it's an anagram. She goes, you've got to shuffle them. So it's an anagram. You have to shuffle them. Left the conversation there. Hello to Sarah. We love you very much. We love all of our Sarah Underwood listeners. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
You got the general format?
Is there a theme?
No. Oh, I think I took cards just from Theros forwards and didn't go for Magic 2015.
Okay,
then
cool.
Use the core set.
All right.
And I tried to go for the... I tried to go for the rudest ones or the ones that sounded funniest.
Fair enough.
All right. You ready? Question one. Vertebral door horn. Vertebral door...
Just two words?
Horn.
That's three words.
It's a name of a card. Vertebral door horn. Doesn't matter how many words it is, really. It could be one word. Vertebral door horn.
Can we get the spelling on this?
Yep. V-E-R-T.
Yep.
E-B-R-A-L.
E-B-R-A-L.
That's vertebral.
Yep.
Door. I'll leave that one to you.
D-O-O-R.
And horn, which Kian can tell you about later when we're packing up. All right. Don't cheat. All right.
So hold on. Essentially, if you scramble these letters in a certain way, it makes a card name, right?
It's an anagram.
Oh my god, there's a lot of letters in this one.
Yeah, I know you should.
That's insane.
I went for the more popular cards.
Hold on, hold on. Dave, can you play some elevator music? I'm going to think about this.
Oh, if only I had a flute with me right now.
A penny whistle.
Welcome aboard, listener. This is the sound of two men working on anagrams. They don't have enough time to do it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, no, that's not it.
Okay. I will now introduce you to question number two. Maybe after I've given you all three, we could blob and give you a bit of time and come back. But no, question number two. MTG card quiz. Card anagrams. Then a chick roosted. It's like part of a sentence. Then a chick roosted. You don't know how badly I want it to be rooted, but it wasn't. It was just...
Okay, how do we spell this one?
Then
a chick.
Chick.
Roosted.
With an S.
Is that like chick is in girl or chick is in like chicken?
How would you spell the difference?
Yeah, what is the difference?
I'm dyslexic, shut up.
C-H-I-C-K-E. And roosted is R-O-O-S-T.
C-H-I-C-K-E?
No.
Oh, it's not E?
C-H-I-C-K. Roosted. R-O-O-S-T-E-D.
Oh, all I can see is chick roosted now.
Then,
I can't see the other English words. And
then a chick roosted. All right. Have a look at that one. We'll blob at the end of this, give you a bit more time off air.
I don't think that will help.
Well, yeah. All right. Question number three. I'm rather proud of this one. This is something you might need if you're going to play in a band. It's a bit of a geeky band. And then when you got there was this other band there which was a rival geek band.
Okay.
Their lead singer would have an arch nerd gig bag. Arch, A-R-C-H, nerd. I think we're all capable of spelling that. Gig, G-I-G, bag, B-A-G.
Duh.
Okay, listeners, instead of listening to them think, we'll come back right after this.
Let me get through the cards.
Welcome back, listeners. You rejoin us with two men swearing at their phones. I've allowed them to look at their phones. We've established that the cards are all from the Theros block. Been some whooping, it's been some hollering. I think it's time to come back in, fellas.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go. MTG card quiz. We're going to wrap it up now. Because the listeners at home could just like...
pause and Google and yeah.
Come back after 20 years. All right, Kian, unless you're doing another amazing bit of... acting.
Yeah.
I believe we need to ask you first. Vertebral Dawhorn, what have you got?
I got nothing.
He's got nothing.
I had Borderland Minotaur, but it was one letter off. There was no U in your acronym.
Really? Is it that close?
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic. All right, just for a recap as well, the score at the moment, Kian 1, Ash 0.
Ash, phones down.
Oh, come on. No!
Ash, what have you got for question 1? Vertebral Dawhorn.
Phones down. This is so cheating.
This is not a test.
You're using your phone as well.
No, but he's still looking at his phone.
Yeah, you're in the wrong colour anyway. You're cheating in the wrong colour.
God, I got no idea.
You got no idea? Answer is Abhorrent Overlord.
Oh, I looked past that. I didn't think there was enough letters in it.
So no one got that. So Vertebral Dawhorn, Abhorrent Overlord.
Hold on. Is there two Bs in Vertebral?
Vertebral.
I think I might have missed something.
There's only one bee.
Abhorrent.
Yeah, there's only one
bee. Okay.
Man, I looked over that as well.
Me too.
All right, Kian 1, Ash 0.
Sweet.
Then, a chick roosted. Kian, what have you got?
Yeah, still got nothing.
Still got nothing. Ash?
Pretty sure it was the card that had deemed had the most flavour in it from Theros.
Kian, any with a hint?
Costs white. One white mana is an enchantment.
Sounds like he's getting there.
Involves mountains.
You could pretty much at this stage show him the
Chained
card.
Chained to the Rock.
Yeah.
Chained
is
to
that
the Rocks.
Actually it? Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, man. I looked at that.
Then a chick roosted. Chained to the Rocks.
Okay. Yep.
All right. It's one all. Now.
This is the easy one. This is the one I got
Kian,
first.
What have you got for the Arch Nerd gig bag?
Archmage Antonidas? I don't know.
Oh my god!
This is
Samson Man mascot.
Yeah, I'm getting.
This is fire worthy. Even told him that.
There's stories oh, really, written by
it?
Aaron.
Oh my god! It's charging badger.
It's the charging badger. Oh, Ash wins the charging badger.
How did I miss that? Oh my god!
So good at this game.
What a fail! Let's blob. Hot garbage. That was the theme. This new segment, super fast, hot garbage, based on Aaron Graham's favorite saying, hot garbage. If something's shit, we're about to hear it. Ash, what's your hot garbage?
This card is hot garbage. It is Ugin's Nexus. That is the mythic rare you never want to open. It is unplayable in every format.
Fantastic. Ken, hot garbage.
Meandering Tower Shell.
Because that card is great.
It is a 5/9.
Okay, I want to let you finish, but I got to stop you there.
Go. It is a 5/9.
That when you attack, you lose it for 4 turn cycles. How terrible is that?
Hot garbage. You want to argue about anything? Is it really?
Ugin's Nexus is a foil that's worth quite a bit.
That was hot garbage. All right, we're back. Need some twos. The Neats and Twos, it's been the holiday period of Christmas time, New Year's, and there was a huge response to the beer and pizza show. Most of it was vomiting and eating pizza and drinking more. So I suppose the net result of the Neats and Twos that have followed the beer and pizza show have been about cider travels.
Cider travels are very exciting.
Yeah. If you get on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/7land. It's so hard without Aaron here. He knows that one. Something like Facebook.com/7landhand.
That's, I would imagine, 100% it.
Yeah, if not, search for 7landhand. You'll see a particular cider that someone...
Not naming names here.
Kane. Left behind at the beer and pizza show.
Because it was, deliberately.
After all, a beer and pizza show and some cider.
I bought my own cider and I left it behind for other people's enjoyment, and people have certainly enjoyed it on social network.
Yeah, so actually, if on the on our Facebook page, we've actually got a little bar that tells us how many people have viewed a certain post, and I thought there's a picture of three girls looking at this, which reached 72 people. 72. Woof. The picture of your cider on its way to Cervantes in the middle of a blazing hot day, reached 164 people. 164 people tuned into that and went, I want to know what's happening with that cider out in the middle of nowhere. Which is crazy. And also believe we've gone from 133 to 134 likes.
All my cider, Dave.
The cider. And that's, you know, the MEDAX. Although MEDAX has also got a campaign to point out that we need to improve our likes from 133 because it's been there for ages, apparently. And it has, immediately.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
Cider gets there every time.
Cider's got us there. All right. No Axel's Philosophy Corner either, because I've been nudging him, but I imagine he's just stuck in a coma under a bush. The MEDAX, these comments are all over the cider travel stuff, so if you want to read it, tune into that. We're recording next week, but it won't be out for another fortnight because we're playing bank shows. Clever that, because everybody's busy in a fortnight, but not next week. I'll be back in a fortnight's time to you, listener, doing Diplomacy with Matt McHale and Julien Rajoutin. I've been practicing that. Is that right?
Is that Rangitat?
Julien Rajoutin. Rajoutin.
I'm so going to call him that next time I see him.
Rajoutin Julien. Here we'll be talking Diplomacy, which is good because I wrote the whole intro for that for the Beer and Pizza Show, and then someone backed out. And considering that Matt was on the Beer and Pizza Show, enough said.
Sweet.
Super serious to talk about. That's all wrapped up. Any other news? Need some twos going on? We're all just angling for the pre-release, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm so excited. In exciting news, Ash Webster is going to win a tournament by the time you listen to this podcast. He's winning the tournament on Sunday.
Am I? What's happening on Sunday?
Am I winning tomorrow?
I hope so.
Oh, that's exciting.
No, I don't know.
What's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the GPT for Grand Prix Auckland at GG St. James has some exciting prizes of $150 cash for first place, which is pretty sweet.
How are you going to spend that, Ash?
Well, I was thinking about going to the pub, getting some right. celebratory beers for the boys.
Yeah.
And then ladies who want to join us, but...
Mostly
beers.
The ladies. Oh, beers.
Cider not allowed?
No ciders, sorry.
Damn. Yeah, so Ken's not coming along.
Unfortunately, sorry,
that's
Ken.
That's good. I've got a cider at home, actually, just floating around. It's current...
It's looking for a good home.
I think it's done 600 kilometres now.
Oh, man.
That's kind of...
It's getting some cider miles up.
Some good adventures.
I just wish I'd given it to Aaron before he'd gone. Well, can you take that? You couldn't even get that overseas, could you?
Nah.
They'd go and charge you some... We'd pay the duty on that. Now, I'm imagining that Europe doesn't let you take cider over there.
Probably not.
There's no cider drinking.
Yeah, you're only allowed to drink beers in Europe, unfortunately. But fortunately for most of us.
Yeah. All right, well, here's a treat. We'll just blob and we'll come back for Ken's outro.
Here at Seven Land Hand, we'd like to thank Ash Webster for coming down.
All right, Ken.
Oh, it's been pretty sweet. And,
thank you,
as you might have noticed, this is a fuzz-free episode brought to you by... Seven Land Hand, the Brazilian edition. If you want to come and, get your own Brazilian, speak to David Wildsmith. His receding hairline can attest he uses it on himself.
Thank you. I don't like that.
Oh, man, so much burnish.
Yeah. I'll take everyone down.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh. I'm glad I got to thank you on some Brazilian joke.
I don't know, that was almost...
Still recording. Oh, the Easter egg on? I'm okay with lack of fuzz.
Lack of fuzz? You're not from here, no.
My girlfriend thanks you.
No, I was still, yeah, okay. Enough.
Enough.